Well, Paul wanted to make sure that the church at Ephesus knew exactly what the impact of each believer practicing their faith makes. And he does this in Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16. I'm going to pray, and then we'll start diving into it. God, thank you for this awesome responsibility. Thank you that you've given us your word. And thank you that that word is being preached all over the world. God, I pray for Peter and Alan and Connor. God, that you are constantly filling them with your spirit and refreshing them, and that they would just have great joy as they teach and see the Ethiopian people respond. It's been such a blessing to know so many of these people respond and then they immediately go and do. They don't wait. They've been changed by you, God, and then they go and they do the work of your ministry. May we have that too here. God, continue to change us. Continue to knit us together as one body, as your word says, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, page 978 in the Pew Bible, if you have one. And I'm going to read from Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it's equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Isn't that great? And just to start, really, that God would make growing into Christ's likeness even a possibility. And more than that, really, an expectation. And I really want to thank Ben Arnold. We were kind of going through this as I was getting prepared. And sometimes you can get kind of bogged down in the technical aspect of the text. And he just really encouraged me to back out and see the greatness of God in this text. And I just really want that for all of us. I mean, it's overwhelming that God would communicate his word through somebody like Paul, somebody who pursued killing Christians, but he was saved and transformed by Jesus, and that we are learning now more about God through that and being built up 2,000 years later. And the book of Ephesians is amazing that Paul would write from prison to teach the church at Ephesus about the Godhead and the unity within the Trinity as an example to us. Isn't it amazing that the dividing wall of hostility between God and man was broken in Christ? That he made us alive when we were dead, that we have been brought near when we were far off. And that the dividing wall of hostility between man and man, Jew and Gentile, was broken down in Christ. That God revealed the mystery that Gentiles were fellow heirs and members of the same body. That spiritual and cultural enemies are now one. Isn't it incredible that we could never exist as one body without the strength that the Holy Spirit gives us, so that Christ may live at home in our hearts, so we can comprehend the incomprehensible love of Jesus, so that we can be filled with the fullness of God. God knew that we would need this so we could have unity within the body. And you can imagine the readers of this letter being told that the depth of unity expected between the Jews and the Gentiles was oneness. It wasn't enough just to exist as acquaintances, tolerating one another. They were to be one. And more than that, through Christ, they are one. We are one as believers. And to help, God gave leaders to equip the saints. That's you and us for the work of the ministry, so that we could be built up to maturity, which is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Isn't it amazing that we can even be mature? That we don't have to live in immaturity, but we can know truth and then speak it in love. And in his kindness, God has given us a guide on how we can be mature. And that brings us to the text we're in today. Isn't God good? He is. My hope today is that you would see God's goodness and greatness, and that all he's done for us, and be amazed as we learn that he has made a provision for his body, the church, to grow in every way into Christ-likeness. My hope is that you would be encouraged as we learn that God has equipped every believer with unique gifts that will build his body up in love. And my hope is for connectedness, that you would live connected to God and his body. I'm going to pick up where Peter left off last week and finish verses 15 and 16. Then I'm going to share a story that really illustrates this building up of the body that's happening right now in our body. And then we'll have a time of sharing, at least that's the goal, a time of sharing at the end so that you can build up the body by testifying to what God is doing in you and through you in this study in Ephesians. Now, the past 3 weeks, Peter's been describing what immaturity looks like and what maturity looks like. He showed us that maturity in this text can be summarized in two words, being symmetry, which is the growing up in every way, not just some ways, but every way, and synergy, that every connection works together for the growth of the body. Symmetry was further broken down into three elements, two of which Peter covered in detail, those being truth and love. Maturity in Christ is revealed as we speak the truth in love. And that brings us to the third element of symmetry in the first point in the bulletin, which is that our purpose is to grow proportionately into Christ. Our purpose is to grow proportionately. That's a tough word to spell, isn't it? Into Christ. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. This is the goal, and this is the end of maturity. Jesus is the standard for the maturity that to which we aspire. Jesus is perfect. Therefore, Jesus is perfectly proportional, perfectly symmetrical, and our purpose is to grow proportionately into his example. Jesus is referred to in this passage and in numerous other areas as the head. This word literally means the part of the body in which that contains the brain, but it's used figuratively here to refer to his authority over the whole body, the church. So the next point is in your outline that Jesus is the authority for the body. Jesus provides leadership, power, and governance for his church. And just as he's established authority and structure and leadership in verse 11, and he's established this in the home in chapter 5, so he rules the church, his body. He is the authority. And as head, Jesus is also the source of all growth. Jesus is the source of growth. Just as the brain in our mortal bodies fuel our growth, so Jesus fuels the growth of his body. John Eadie described this by saying, "The growth is to him, and the growth is from him, himself its origin and himself its end. The life that brings, or that springs from him as the source of its existence is ever seeking and flowing back to him as the source of its enjoyment." Jesus is the source of life. God took dead people like you and me and made us alive together with Christ. He saved us by grace and through faith, and now we are a new creation, his workmanship created in Jesus for good works. And we're to grow in every way, in truth, in love, and in our purpose, the goal of Christ's likeness. Jesus made us alive. And as head, he keeps us alive. As we grow into Christ likeness, and there is this expectation of growth in the text, we are to grow. As we grow in maturity, we do so through what Peter called synergy. And when I say Peter, I'm talking about our Peter, not the Apostle Peter, but our Peter Hubbard, summed up verse 16 into the word synergy, which is composed of three elements: cooperation, distinction, and affection. And listen for these as I read verse 16. We are to grow into him from whom the whole body, joined, held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. These components are really intermingled with each other, working together as one. And that's the first point, that every believer matures the body through cooperation. The whole body is joined and held together by every joint, that's you and me. And verse 7 in chapter 4 says that each one of us has been graced according to the measure of Christ's gift. Christ has equipped us with unique gifts that are designed to work in cooperation with other people's gifts that when working properly will build up the body. John Piper calls this every member ministry, and John MacArthur refers to it as comprehensive Christ-likeness. Paul uses the words joined and held together to describe this relationship within the body. And the language denotes a present and continuous progress. So we are continuously being joined and held together. The word joined means interconnected, fit together, or hinged. And the word held together means united, knit together, or combined. And these words were used by Paul in chapter 2, verses 21 through 22, when describing God's people, the church. He said, in Christ, the whole structure was being joined together and growing into a holy temple of the Lord. He continued saying, in Him we are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. I remember Peter describing this being joined together and built together. This was stonemason's language. Each stone, each person is prepared and precisely cut to snugly fit, strongly and beautifully with every other part, and then connected with dowels and molten lead. And this is not a clean process. Anyone who's ever worked with that knows you get dirty. And Peter described that, that there's chiseling and hammering and cutting as we're fit together. It's not clean, but it's beautiful. William Blakey described this cooperation by saying, there's a jointing and joining of the various parts to each other, forming a symmetrical, compact, well-ordered building. The church has many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. It's a cooperative body, each aiding in his own way and with his own talent. The church is not a collection of loose stones and timbers. Its members are in vital union with Christ and ought to be living and loving and considerate fellowship with each other. And there's an awareness with cooperation that you are not that you are a part of something that's bigger than yourself. You are a part of the larger entity, and you have a part in that entity. Remember the FedEx guy in the video? He had a particular job to do that he was specifically equipped to do. And if he wanted to be the little shooting organelles or whatever those things were, or if he wanted to do any other job, then he wouldn't be working in cooperation with the other components. And that cell would cease to work at the level of efficiency that it was designed to do. The same thing happens on any sports team. If a lineman stopped blocking and he wanted to become the quarterback, he would not be working in cooperation with the rest of the team. He'd be putting his desires to play a more prominent position above the desires and the goal of the team and causing the team to operate much less efficiently. You see, cooperation is about fulfilling the specific role or roles that you've been uniquely equipped to fill. Many of you may be working in cooperation with the body, but some may not. We call it being plugged in to the ministry, but I don't really think that accurately describes it very well. As a believer, you are plugged in. I think it's just that you need to be turned on, is what it is. You need to flick that switch on. And if you're not in the on position, I would really encourage you to pray to the source who has gifted you individually and seek how you can start working in cooperation with the body. I'd also encourage you to go to your shepherding group, godly friends, and ask them how you can help the body. And every role that's cooperating with the body is distinctly significant because every joint, each individual joint, is equipped uniquely. Verse 16 says that the whole body is held together by every joint with which it is equipped. The NASB translation words it this way: the whole body is held together by what every joint supplies. The word equipped in the ESV and supplies in the NASB refers to a lavish and generous giving, or to be furnished abundantly. And as a believer, God has graced you generously and furnished you abundantly with your unique gifting that helps hold the body together. And it makes it grow. So the first point under distinction is that every believer plays a crucial role. Every believer plays a crucial role. And I want to emphasize that it's every believer that plays a crucial role. We have been graced in a big way with a lot of people publicly proclaiming that they're believers in Jesus through baptism. At our last indoor-outdoor service, 20, 30 people of various ages. And I want to make sure that each one of them knows that God has placed them in a specific role in the body and that they've been graced by God with unique gifts to fill that role. Younger children, you guys need to know and understand that you're your own part of the body. You're your own ligament. You're not a part of your parents' ligament. Because that's not how it works. And you may say, but I want to be a part of my parents' ligament. And I say, get off their ligament. You're your own ligament. But it's good because you can be connected to other ligaments, to work together with these other ligaments for the betterment of the body. And teens, a lot of teens getting baptized, proclaiming Christ, it's wonderful. I want to remind you that there's one body. You're not a part of a separate body. There's one body. No matter how much you want to maybe be a part of another body, we're one body, the body of Christ. And God has uniquely placed you and gifted you to work distinctly and in cooperation with others. Every believer, no matter your age, your economic condition, your social status, your physical status, whatever, every believer plays a crucial role. The second point is that every believer must be fully engaged. Verse 16 says that when each part is working properly, it makes the whole body grow. The opposite is also true. When each part is not working properly, if it's defective in some way, if it's broken, then the body won't grow. The whole body is affected. My wife has been experiencing some pain in her shoulder recently, and she finally went to the doctor and found out it may be something to do with her rotator cuff. So she was told by the doctor to completely rest her right shoulder, and she's right-handed. So, most active mothers, this is like an impossibility. And it's greatly impacted her life. It's greatly impacted my life and the whole family. The pain interrupts her sleep. It interrupts her attitude. And since she can only use her left arm, it affects her job, her daily duties. Our meal presentations have gone straight downhill because she just, kind of with the food, but I'm joking about that. It's hard. Things that were simple before, like driving and dressing, have made it harder on the rest of her body. And similarly, when you're not engaged in the body using your unique gifts, it affects your growth, which affects the body's growth. And this isn't meant to be a guilt trip for those who may not be exercising your gifts. It's really meant to be an encouragement. It's meant to be an invitation to ask God to move you towards that. Because when each part is working properly, the body is built up in love. And this leads us to the third element of synergy, which is affection. It's been discovered that isolated, unloved babies do not grow properly, and they become susceptible to disease. While babies who are loved and handled grow normally and stronger. So it is with the body, the church. Where the atmosphere is unloving, the body does not grow properly, and it's susceptible to illness. But where the atmosphere is loving, the body will grow and be stronger. The final point is that the atmosphere of growth is love. You see, it's love that pervades all aspects of maturity. And without love, we cannot grow. It was in love that God predestined us for adoption through Jesus. It was in love, a great love, with which God loved us that made us alive together with Christ. It was love that Paul prayed the Ephesians would be rooted and grounded in. And it is love, the incomprehensible love of Christ, that leads to fullness. It's love for one another that reflects our calling. And it's in love that we are to walk and talk. P.T. O'Brien said, if it is only in love that the body increases, then it is only in love that true Christian ministry will contribute to the building of the body. The spiritually gifted community is not only distinguished by its full possession of gifts through which energy flows, divine energy flows, but it's also marked by its divine nature. Love thus becomes the criterion for an assessment of the church's true growth. Even the fullest demonstration of gifts has no spiritual value if love is lacking. And this is what Paul was describing when he wrote in Corinthians, that we could be gifted in all sorts of ways and do amazing things, but if they didn't have love, they gained nothing, and they were nothing. John 13:35 says that by this all people know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So the source of growth is Christ. The result of growth is Christ-likeness. The mechanics of growth is cooperation and distinction, and the atmosphere of growth is love. I've put some questions down at the bottom of your bulletin to consider in your quiet times or in your shepherding groups or with sharing with other people, and I hope that will help you be built up. Remember the video at the beginning? And the remark that the little machines in the cells, they do their jobs that benefit a body that they will never see. I want to share a story that will let you see the symmetry and the synergy of maturity, the growing up in every way into Christ and every joint working properly to build up the body in love. But before we start, what I don't want you to hear is comfort, ease, process, or logistics. Okay? Just like the point about us being chiseled and knit together, that's the case in this. It's going to probably sound a little clean. It's not. Okay? Relationships are typically messier than that. And I'm not going to share with you all of the chiseling elements to this story. In fact, Tim would probably tell you that since he has been saved earlier this year, life has become much, much harder in many ways. But God is teaching him to consider it joy. The point of it is to let the larger body know that this kind of ministry is happening all the time in varying degrees with lots of people. I'm going to use people's first names just so that you can see that when I'm talking about the work that Jesus does through the body, he does it through people. Sometimes I think we think of the body as kind of this nondescript entity that does ministry, but the body is made up of real people with real names who do the work of the ministry, and I want you to know it, and I hope it encourages you. This story starts, Tim's story, rather, starts with Peter. Peter and Karen were praying through the Sermon on the Mount, and they were asking God to show them how to be salt and light. So they were motivated to move Connor and Keaton into Brook Glen. And at Brook Glen, they became involved and saw and heard a need, and the SCORE after-school ministry began. SCORE began to help children with their schoolwork by giving one-on-one tutoring. If we can go to the next. Or not. SCORE began to help children with their schoolwork by giving one-on-one tutoring, and then they combined sports instruction and Bible lessons. Peter oversaw the program at first, but then God called a public school teacher to the ministry. And that's Ruthie, and she began overseeing SCORE. And God has given Ruthie so many gifts. She loves kids, and she is so energetic. And later, God burdened Ross, who God called out of accounting and is gifted in children's ministries, and he expanded the SCORE after-school program to SCORE, the SCORE summer camp program. And Ross and Ruthie worked with Brooke Glenn, who recommended kids for the program, and they formed a team of at least 20 teachers and tutors and volunteers and so on, and they were ready to start. And then God raised me up and called me out of business, and just before the program got started last summer, we thought, you know, it would be great to try to connect outreach to this program. So I got up here one Sunday and I asked families to volunteer to pray for the children, and we were going to hold a couple of events throughout the summer to get the families connected. And at that time, Michael and Rachel and their kids volunteered for that, and they started praying for little Sarah. And then we got introduced to Tim and Tatum and little Sarah again, and her sister Jocelyn and brother Chase. And not long after the program began, Ruthie came to me and said there was an urgent prayer request. Tatum had lost her job. So I went to them, and this is where I met Tim and their family, and I prayed with them, and they wanted work. They were without work. Tim hadn't worked in quite a while, so I just prayed with them and said, okay, let's do this. So over the next 6 months, God would raise up different people. And during this time, Josh was particularly taking a philosophy of ministry class in an effort to include ministry in his job. So God is raising him up while he's raising volunteers and people at SCORE to train Karen, and he's connecting us to Tim and Tatum. And then one day, I think the day I was taking them around to look for jobs, we met Robert. Robert was eating his lunch by the Sphinx station, and we came in there. I didn't really know Robert. I knew him by sight, introduced him to Tim, and said, hey, we're looking for work. And Tim said, well, I just met somebody who needs some work, and I can't do it. How about you go? And they got a job through that. It was a part-time job, but isn't that amazing to see? And then Randy was raised up, and now Tim is working consistently. It's a kind of a part-time permanent placement thing, but it's like a full-time job, and it's the first time in a long time. Isn't that amazing how God takes all these different people? And then there's a host of people, Jonathan, Josh, Joe, Carl, Michael, Ian, who are helping them reestablish themselves in a home. About a month ago, they had to move out of their home. And it was at that time that Michael and Rachel said, we'll take you in. Now, Michael and Rachel would probably tell you they never would have volunteered for this. They never would have responded to that request on Facebook. But they were living in community with Tim and Tatum because they were in the same shepherding group, and they needed somebody, and they said, okay. And they took them in. And now they're living together, life on life, each day, training, helping. It's really a beautiful thing, but just as we are fit together, it's not easy, it's not clean. And in the meantime, God's raising up these people to help with getting them a place that they can live. And so many others at North Hills, tutors and people. I spoke to somebody coming in today, and he said he was praying for them. He didn't even know I was preaching or talking about this, but he just mentioned, hey, I'm praying for those guys. God is raising up so many people. It's so encouraging. And Tim and Tative have not been cul-de-sacs in this. They have been conduits of God's grace as they desire to be changed and walk in obedience. They bless others, and the body is built up. And you know that Score Summer Camp just started again this past week, and we'll be looking for families to pray for these kids and their families and the workers. It's great that God brings all different kinds of people with all different kinds of abilities to converge on a family that He has called out for Himself. This is the body building itself up in love. I really hope that this has encouraged you, but there may be some who are thinking, this isn't my experience. I've been burned by the body, or some may say that I've never gotten that kind of help. Well, I don't know why that has been your experience, but all I can do is point you back to Scripture. All I can do is point you to the source who loves you so much that He died for you. And He loves the church, something He is so closely associated with. It's called His body. I invite you to trust God and try again. Trust God and get turned on. There's so much ministry going on in this body, and I'm thinking of Ginger, who's faithfully ministered to over 1,000 kids at Brook Glen through Good News Club. I'm thinking of Marcella, who was called to Piedmont Women's Center to reach the people that are spoken about in verse 14. The people tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. These people, they believe that a reasonable solution to an unplanned pregnancy is to kill the child. And she's ministering to them. Come get turned on and help build the body in love. If you want to get plugged in, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we'll have elders, pastors here to speak with you after this service. We would love to introduce you to our Savior. So let me pray, and maybe I'm going to call for a testimony. I'm sorry, we've run a little long, but let me pray, and then if there's someone burdened with something on their heart they want to share, please come up. God, thank You again that You even do this kind of work, that You are in the transformation business, that You love us so much You died for us. And God, Your word talks about changing briars into myrtles, and You're doing that. Thank You for all the work that's going on through this body. God, I'd ask that You would continue to pour grace out on us. Give us more and more and more so that we might grow up symmetrically and synergistically in You. In Jesus' name, amen.